I belong to the
bed. Hello, visions and hallucinations. Welcome to Technomatics, episode 33.
Hi.
Hello.
We're live in Ireland's favourite and most prominent and large and magnificent couch museum. As you can see, we're sitting on a delicious couch, and behind us is another couch. This place is simply full of them.
I love my couch.
I love my couch too.
Fabricy
goodness. Like Weetatix.
Oh, I love a good bowl of Weetatix in the mouth.
Into your mouth and down your gullet.
Oh,
ooh, and they sucking jump, you out from the
they
inside.
Jump around inside you.
Just thinking about it gives me a semi-stiffy.
Alright then. Right then, I suppose we get started then.
Let's get started. So, let's get started with the death of the internet. Just have to sit in your couch museum all day and mourn it. Mourn it. At least we have a couch.
At least we have a couch.
At least we have a couch. Anyway, okay. Oh no, we've got another name I'm going to pronounce badly. Daniel Beringer?
That's pretty Beringer. Good. Pretty
well,
good.
I did pretty good.
Beringer.
Okay. Beringer. Okay, he writes about the death of the internet and how net neutrality, which is what many of the telcos are fighting against, essentially what it promises is that uses of the internet are essentially equal to everyone. So while you mightn't be able to get the same, say, speeds or, you know, bandwidth.
It's your brain, mind
bandwidth. Connection speeds and bandwidth, you know, everywhere, or depending on your how much you're paying your telecom company or your broadband supplier, you might be able to get the same amount of speed or bandwidth on your connection, but you should be able to access the same services as everyone else. Now, what the telcos want to do is essentially change all that so that you can access the same services as anyone else, and they're going to pretty much try and charge you on a per application basis. So obviously they're trying to change things this way, and obviously there's currently legislation, things like this, passing through Congress, where hopefully some people are trying to fight where it'll be enshrined, net neutrality will be enshrined in the laws, and telcos are obviously saying, no, things are okay, let us do whatever we want, put in no legislation, it's all good.
Unfortunately, the first vote has gone by and the evil guys won. Net neutrality was defeated in the initial vote in Congress over this issue, so it could well be that this will not be
saved. Could be well, quite
saved.
Bad, and the real problem with this is that you might think, oh, what's the big deal if the telcos kind of charge you based on what application or what kind of packets you're downloading from the internet. Thing is, if they get to control this, then they can choose that, say, Google's search results will always be like 10 times slower than Yahoo, so Yahoo will probably then become the most popular browser in the internet, not because it's the best, it's because the telecoms companies decided that it should be the best, essentially, deciding to give it preferential treatment. Obviously, the telcos are not going to give voice over IP nice, cheap, fast rates because, you know, it's fighting against them, you know, and it's chewing into their market share. And essentially what the telcos want to do is collect more money without actually providing you with anything new or beneficial to you. They just want to charge for something you're already getting.
This is the equivalent of, essentially, if Intel decided that certain programs would run faster on their processors because they're getting kickbacks from the manufacturers. And if that happened, it would be an abuse of monopoly and they'd be taken to court and butchered. In fact, Microsoft, in their worst days, didn't even do this. They were certainly accused of managing Windows so programs wouldn't run, but such a thing was never proven, even in the convictions against them in the antitrust trial. So, I mean, if this goes ahead, if net neutrality does collapse, you're talking, it's just as if your processor would run certain programs faster. Complete abuse of monopoly. And the fact that it hasn't, that there has been a vote which didn't get through to try and prevent this, it just goes to show how hypocritical the Republican Party in the United States are in favour of business and the market. Pure monopoly.
Not allowing consumers and the market to decide what will succeed and what will fail, but instead allowing a small group of individuals or companies to decide essentially what gets to run on the internet. Because that's what they can do. They can essentially take the applications they don't like and just give them the crappiest service possible. Enough service, obviously, that they can't sue, maybe, and say, you're denying a service. but enough that it's like so rubbish that no one can use it, and they die, or they're only used by someone who can put up with it.
They're basically, they've identified that all the new money going into the net is going to be in this whole service provision, Web 2.0 area, and they're like, we want our piece of the cake. Unfortunately, they're already getting their piece twice, from consumers buying their net connections, and from companies paying vast amounts for their bandwidth bills. So they're looking for a third piece of cake, and this might be just the piece that deflates the souffle.
Yes. Without giving you anything good. Nothing good for you! All bad. So... yes, and possibly killing innovation and any new cool ideas out there. Stone dead. Who knows?
We live in a sad world. Okay, moving on. Our favourite topic, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, is in the news again over the new and improved Intellectual Property Protection Act, which endeavours to increase sentencing and penalties for digital copyright theft and should allow... make it a crime to make, import, export, or obtain control of, or possess, software that can bypass DRM systems. And you know, that includes VLC or any other program which uses DECSS to decrypt DVDs, or in fact any software which just happens to have a function which can be misused to crack
legal DRM. Maybe if you have a computer with a DVD player, you could, like, reader. Yeah, technically you could possibly use that reader. You could attempt at some stage in the future, go down to your cop shop straight away and hand yourself over.
And they're talking about 10-year penalties. Penalties, as Francis pointed out.
No, sorry, that was a mistype. Well, but
which would be worse than the penalties for downloading paedophile porn? You know, there really shouldn't be any penalty for that anyway. You know, what's wrong with a bit of it? But it's absolutely outrageous and ridiculous and. It's another example of the extension of copyright into areas which are completely inappropriate, and the extension of criminal penalties into areas which are completely inappropriate. And the whole thing is just mad.
Yeah, I love the idea that they're going to allow copyright holders to impound records documenting the manufacture, sale, or receipt of items involved in infringements. Does that mean like that Sony are going to like burst down my door by, you might have files and stuff, we want your records?
Actually, what it probably means is that the police will. Yeah. Knock down your door in the name of Sony and impound your records.
Hooray!
So essentially they're almost giving a degree of policing power to copyright holders. And of course it doesn't mean copyright holders. It doesn't mean you or I who create things which are copyrighted. It means giant corporations which have enormous legal departments who can screw you over and happen to control and own and profit from copyrights. The misuse of corporate power, strike 200 billion.
Yeah, to them. Another zero to us.
Another zero to us. What can you do?
Yeah. Well, it's not quite passed yet, but it's going to Congress.
Patriot Act has been renewed. Digital Millennium Copyright Act is in. European Digital Effect. What's the equivalent? The European Digital Millennium I can't remember.
The European piece of crap.
I really should stop this heavy drinking the night before doing the show business. It's not good.
It's messing with your head.
It leads to my tongue being large and heavy in my mouth.
What have you been drinking?
Oh my god, not enough. Moving on. This show's going to be about 5 minutes long and not even worth watching. Maybe if we just did it naked.
You just want to see me naked?
Already seen you naked.
What?
Nothing.
I knew someone was watching from the bushes.
That wasn't a bush. Oh, this is just going. Moving on. Okay. Weak is the term.
Weak, yes. Anyway. Another one we're covering is Windows Vista and why it's a piece of crap and why we're still all waiting for it. So, it actually was first unveiled in October 2003. Can you believe it's that long ago? So, obviously, it's still not here and we're still waiting for it and it's on build number... 5.75 million in a bit, who knows. So one person has looked at the current build and just some of the things he's pointed out about it are that first of all, the user account protection, which is meant to kind of
protect user
accounts. No, it's meant to protect administrators or any users from carrying out, say, changes to the system which could damage it. So people clicking the wrong thing to, you know, wipe out the hard drive. Yeah, to
blah.
To blah. Blah. To blah. Blah. Wipe the hard drive or something like this. You know, it's meant to go, are you really, really sure? Are you really, really sure? Enter some kind of security.
Go on. You're not really sure, are you?
Yeah, well, I think it's meant to actually, you have to enter security codes and stuff like this. So verify, even when you're logged in, that you still want to do this. So, while that all seems great, what it does, in fact, is annoy you even more than Clipit, apparently. More annoying than Clipit. I didn't know it was possible.
It was Clippy.
Clippy. Sorry, I didn't bother learning his name. I killed him 2 seconds after he popped up the first time.
Microsoft Clitoris.
Who knows? He was a pain in the ass. That's for sure. Anyway, this is apparently much worse because even for simple things like deleting an icon on the screen, it goes, yeah, are you really, really sure you want to do this? No, actually, first it goes, you can't do it. It tells you, no, you're not allowed to delete this file. And then it goes, are you really, really sure? Are you really, really, really sure? It's just a shortcut. Anyway, next thing is, the transparent windows, which apparently was the big fancy thing that Vista would have, that you could layer all these windows on top of each other and almost look through them and see the ones below. Problem is, you've no idea which one's on top. When they're all laid, any kind of way at
it's
all.
It's always bad not to know who's on top.
Yeah.
It can cause great confusion at the wrong moments.
Yeah. It can get very messy. and lead to awkwardness.
Awkward silences.
Awkward silences. Indeed. So,
Mummy, would you shift out the cliff?
I'm very sorry.
I'm sorry. Anyway, third is Media Center, which is also a piece of crap, because if they can, the Media Center, which this guy who wrote the article thought was pretty decent.
This is really interesting as well, because the guy who wrote the article, Paul Turow, he's basically been, I don't know, fellating Bill Gates for the past few years. He writes, his site is called Paul Turow's super site for Windows. It's just purely about Windows, so he makes his living from Windows, and he's completely slating it. So
yeah, he's saying it's a piece of crap.
Him saying this is I don't know. It's like
he's lost the faith.
Yeah, it's like Natalie Portman saying that George Lucas is a big fat talentless fool with no brain mind,
which is of course totally untrue.
Totally false.
Totally untrue.
He's a very talented man. He's made lots of good movies recently.
Yes,
which will be released soon.
In the future.
In the future.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Nicely done.
Thanks. Props. Anyway, we also have, what's it? John C. Dvorak also writes this week.
Dvorak.
Dark. Is it Dvorak?
No, it is Dvorak.
It's Dvorak.
But he is a bit of a dork.
Allegedly. Anyway, he writes that, problems with Microsoft is Internet Explorer, and it's a piece of crap, and essentially everything else that Microsoft creates is a piece of crap because they spend all their time fixing the piece of crap that is Internet Explorer, and that it's so tied into Windows that most of the security problems and all that come from IE.
Yeah, Dvorak is complete idiot. It would be my interpretation of that one. What he's really saying is that ActiveX is a piece of crap, and which they should drop, but unfortunately they can't, because ActiveX is used by thousands of businesses all around the world to run their intranets and various company database inclusion software and so on. And Dvorak is the same guy who suggested that Apple were going to drop OS X, which is a very functional and useful piece of software for Windows XP, which or even Windows Vista, which does not yet exist. No, he was wrong. And he's wrong again with his foolish mistake. Yeah, they can't effectively drop away, nor would they, because that would be admitting defeat, which is something Microsoft have never done.
Mm, true. But I think it's about untangle it from the OS. Wouldn't it be great?
They wouldn't do that, though. It goes against their strategy. Embrace, extend, extinguish.
Kill.
Mm. Maybe if we could just kind of untangle Windows from the PC and throw it into the bin and
untangle the shit from it.
Unfortunately, with the whole software patents thing, you can. I mean, you could build a Linux desktop tomorrow, which would be as good, better than Windows, but you'd be violating patent because you have to have multimedia playback, and DVDs are patented, and there's various patents and copyrights on MP3s and all the rest of it, which is why if you install Ubuntu, nice operating system otherwise, it doesn't have any kind of media support. And until you have media support and game support, again, patented, again, copyright,
actually,
you're never going to get a different operating system.
Yeah, doesn't that kind of kill, like, the digital DRM thingy with, like, DVD John created his Kraken software so that he could watch DVDs on his Linux machine, wasn't it?
Exactly.
So, he won't be able to do that. And does that kind of kill DVDs on Linux machines almost completely?
There's no legal way
to
watch a DVD.
No legal way. Exactly. So, lovely. Great. Kick in the nuts.
And if I don't think there's a single piece of legal software, or at least up until very recently, there was not a single piece of software you could buy for Linux. But there certainly, by definition, can't be an open source piece of software, because they'd have to buy the license from the DVD consortium.
Bah!
God. The network of evil entanglings of corporate greed grow ever wider and more encompassing. Really, really makes you despair.
In the couch museum.
In the couch museum.
Don't despair in the couch museum.
It'll
make the couches sad.
If only you could see the couch over there. There's a couch with a beautiful tear running down its slick face. Soon we will get to know each other much better.
Can I leave the room first?
You have to watch.
Okay. I think that rounds up Windows.
All right.
Piece of crap.
Our next story, this is going to be such a short show. A lot has happened this week, but it's I think increasingly a lot of blogs are covering the same stories, and it's kind of unexciting. I mean, there was a story this week, and I noticed it was on, I'm trying to remember which story it was, but it was on Boing Boing, /Dot, Dig, and Wired, the same story. And, you know, when you reach that level of interactivity or ripping off. I mean, we can't rip off anymore then, because it's all been said, as Dave Matthews once said.
Yeah, but that means doesn't that mean then that, like, you're not actually getting access to actually
Bare Naked Ladies, not Dave Matthews, sorry. My mistake.
Okay. Anyway, what I'm saying is, doesn't that kind of restrict your access into kind of new or interesting stories, because they're all just looking at each other and just seeing what they're all doing, rather than actually going out and finding interesting stuff.
It's an actually interesting issue. It's a bit like cable TV, and when there was only, you know, 5 channels, or even 10 or 15 channels, much higher quality than when there's 50 or 100 channels, because they're all consuming and eating at the same things.
Will the net eat itself? Do you want to see?
Tune in,
The net eat itself.
So the Google blogger has come through for us again with this story about an interesting piece of software from Google which allows you to draw buildings on Google Earth. And it comes in a pro and a free version. Very unusual, because I don't think Google have ever had anything that had a pro version before. I think all their software has been completely free.
Well, except for, what about the software they sell for searching on corporate databases?
That uses a box. That's got a server, like a Blade server box that you plug in.
Alright.
But the software itself is just Google's. I don't know what it is, but it's, yeah, I think Google just indexes using the box, but the box is what you pay for. But this is really strange, and it lets you design 3D buildings and put them in the world. Not hugely useful to me, but perhaps to people making buildings who want to put them on a flat map in the world, it's a good idea.
Although, they seem to mention something which, from what I could understand, was you could find your own house.
You could then make it
the top, and you could make your own house and then kind of drop it back into Google Earth. So like, you know,
it's going to update with the new day. Yeah, but then how are they going to know it's your house and you just didn't make like a giant mad castle that doesn't actually exist?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I suppose it'll have to generally match up with what's.
I don't think they're going to re-import this data into their database. I don't think they're hoping everybody's going to make their own house.
Build your own house.
It's a funny one. I can't really see. Obviously, this is one of those independent 10% of the time Google projects that somebody's done, and maybe it'll make them some money. But
well,
it's not really
a separate company that was bought by Google.
You're you're right. I read that. So I just, what's the point? Why bother?
I don't honestly know, other than kind of like, look, I built a house, and here's by the Grand Canyon. Hooray!
I mean, I can see Google using this software themselves to add stuff, but I don't know. Anyway, Moving on.
It seems more something to play with. More something to play with. Something with serious commercial potential.
Like my willy penis.
Apple are developing a screen which can see you, like the telly viewers. Is it telly viewers?
Telescreens
in George Orwell's 1984. I think it's telescreens. These screens propose to be able to. It's a patent that someone's interpreted. So the patent, it could simply be better touch display, which has got lots more sensors and is, you know, allows full typing with your finger hands. Or it could be
finger hands. I have hands, and then fingers. What are finger hands? Hands.
These are finger hands. Anyway. Or it could be screens that see you. And this would enable fantastic eye chat functionality because you'd have a really, really high resolution screen that you look right into. So you'd be staring right into the eyes of the person looking up to speak to you on your magic television box. But also, you know, you get the dodgy aspect, which is once this technology is out there, even if it isn't put into every monitor, it's going to be able to be put into TVs and so on. So you'll never really know whether your TV's watching you.
Out at you. It's like you're looking at it, but who's looking back? Dun, dun, dun.
It really makes
so
you wonder.
It's kind of 1984.
Yeah, and if they can patent this, does that mean the technology's kind of already been in military hands for a few years? God. That's a horrible
story. They mention like it's going to be good enough that they can zoom in on things. So imagine like it's all going to raise a whole thing of like, you know, corporate offices, someone manages to get, you know, insert some kind of zombie software on one machine and it zooms in on someone else's screen and could see them typing passwords and all this.
Hey, dude, forget that. I mean, corporate offices already monitor all your email and web surfing. You think they're going to turn up the opportunity to watch you through the day, put a software algorithm on you and see how much keystrokes and effort and time at your desk you spend?
Yeah. Are you constantly looking at the screen? That'd be a very easy thing to do.
This isn't, like, it's such a scary technology and it has such implications that it's one of those things that you just should not do.
Yeah,
it's like a nuclear weapon. This has so many bad uses that it should be illegal.
It's kind of nuts. Like it really is. Like, you know, you're wondering what screens are looking at you.
Anything which makes observation omnipresent or ubiquitous, if you will, is not good. Data gathering on a statistical level is fine, but images of people right in their faces, not good. I'm very pessimistic about this one.
Don't like it. It's 1984. It really is 1984.
Actually, it's 2006.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me check my watch. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, it is 2006.
And I was too young to appreciate the irony or the aptness in 1984 itself. I was around, but I just wasn't really concentrating on that. I was breastfeeding or something at the time, and I never thought, you know, look at society.
You were breastfeeding. You're 26. You must have been like 7 or 8.
I was 4 in 1984. Your math skills are as bad as your head face.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
Okay, well, that's everything.
You're still breastfeeding at 4?
I'm sure I wasn't. It was a stupid example. Maybe I was just touching my mum's tits. I don't know. My mouth. The memories. on to our media film.
Revelations. Just keep on coming.
Do you know what got me thinking about that? I was Desperate Housewives was on yesterday. My flatmates were watching it. What a crap show! But there was a woman who there was a crash in the office. One of the characters worked in, and the woman was breastfeeding her child. And he was 5, and he came into the office saying, "Mummy, I'm thirsty. I want a drink." Yeah, it was an awkward moment for me to watch it and be reminded of my mouth drinking at my mummy's tits. Okay, the top 20 FBI fake homicides of the year. Check that out. It's mildly amusing deaths. And all fake.
Hooray.
Also.
Hooray, so you don't get to feel bad at laughing at someone's death.
You can laugh, but then also feel good too. Mm. And also, Pirate Baby Cabana Street Battle 2006 is a fake game made in black and white where you can watch two characters battle to save their friend from the Pirate Baby Cabana. I don't know. It's like a scrolling beat-em-up thing.
Yeah, essentially.
It's a video.
It's like watching a video of someone playing the game.
It's kind of beautiful, though.
It's quite impressive.
Sweating bottom.
Quite impressive. Right, I'm pimping this week. Jeff Bridges' blog. Jeff Bridges. Because, well, he rather than typing, he writes and draws everything and then scans it in. So it's quite visual, but it still needs a bit of work, you know, because literally you have to scroll down to the whole page and things are kind of huge, so you can't really read a whole line at once. It's annoying in some ways. But nice drawings, Jeff. Keep it up.
Keep it up. One day you might become an artist when you're a big
boy. Don't give up the day job. Right. Secondly, I've got the soul exchange. So, you know, if you have a soul and, you know, it's weighing you down and you just want to make a quick buck off it, you can sell your soul for a month. You can rent it out and someone else can rent your soul for a month or two.
Whoa,
and then you get it back.
Okay. Hang on. Are you taking the piss?
It's actually PayPal.
People pay money.
Yes.
And
it's affiliated
what?
With PayPal. You
what?
Can actually pay
no.
for someone's
soul. Are you sure?
Soul.
Is this like the LASIK thing that you thought was real? The laser eye surgery that at home?
Well, you'll never let me live that one.
No. Soul exchange. Are you taking the piss? Honestly.
Look up the website. Well, I wasn't going to enter it and pay and then check my credit card to see if the money was gone, was I?
Well, why not put your own soul for sale?
What?
Seems like a really good way of making money.
But I like my soul.
Oh, bollocks.
It's all shiny and
no, it's
and
dirty
clean.
And poo-filled. I've seen inside of him.
Finally, I used to believe. A website where people write in about the stuff they used to believe in when they were kids.
Like souls.
Like souls or monsters under the bed or toys becoming alive when they were asleep.
Or virginity.
Virginity.
Fucking fictional, dude.
What kind of house did you live in? Dear God.
Okay, well, this has been our show.
Breastfeeding till 5 and didn't believe in virginity.
This is quite a casual show, actually, it's been. Casual like sleeping. Or being dead, maybe, also. Not much happened, though, in fairness.
No, not much happened, really. We kind of just sat here for the week in the couch.
In the couch factory. Museum.
Well, it's also a factory.
They do make the couches.
They make
and then
couches.
Put them straight into the museum. They can't bear to sell them.
Yeah.
Actually, the reason they have museums is because people in Ireland eat couches as a form of sustenance. Couches are what keep us going, really.
Yeah, since all the potatoes died.
Since the potatoes died. We had evolved and adapted
emigrated.
To live on couches. Couches yeah. are, you know, this couch is actually making me drool right now. Shortly after the show, we'll eat it.
Yummy. Right, well...
Any gossip for you?
Gossip? No. Other than that revelation about people shagging in front square, I was quite interested by that.
If you go to Trinity College Dublin, you may have seen some rude sex in a window recently. If so, send us pictures.
Send us pictures.
And the story. Juicy. Okay.
Video phone footage would be good too.
That would be good too. Or if you were the person having the sex, please do come to us with the tragic tale. We'll interview you live on the show and maybe more. Alright. See you next Tuesday.